God our Father promised Abraham that he would have a son through whom his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sands on the shore of the sea. And he waited years, probably decades, for this promise to be fulfilled. And his wife gives birth to a son. And what happens when that son comes of age? God asks him to sacrifice that child. God asks him to put that child to death. And what does Abraham do? It is amazing that we do not find him getting angry or resentful. You know, crying, Lord, how could you ask that of me? What are you doing? You promised me. He doesn't even ask in faith. Like, Lord, I don't understand. Well, why would you do this? What does he do? He humbly assents and he brings his son up the mountain obeying the word of God. How could he do such a thing? Why would he do such a thing? Sacred Scripture says this, the final line that we heard in the second reading. Abraham reasoned that God was able to raise even from the dead. He never doubted for a moment that God would fulfill his promise. Through that son, you will have descendants, numerous descendants. So he assumed if God's asking him to sacrifice him, it must mean that he's going to bring him back to life. And this is why Catholics all down through the ages, they look at this as evidence of what Our Lady must have felt at Calvary. If Abraham could have such faith, certainly Our Lady would have. As she looks upon her son and she knows the promise of the Father, he will reign on the throne of David forever. And she's seeing her son being crucified. She must have known in her heart, if he allows him to die, he will bring him back to life. And so sure enough, many saints, they had apparitions, revelations, that when Jesus was gone from the tomb, when Mary Magdalene arrived there, she did not find him because he went to greet his mother who was waiting for him. These are our exemplars of faith, a faith that we are called to imitate. And my brothers and sisters, why above all else do we live by faith? Why don't we live like the rest of the world? Because we believe that heaven is real. If heaven is not real, our faith is in vain. We should go do whatever we want to do. But if heaven is real, it is worth anything and everything we have to offer. And we know that it's real because Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to glory, and he promised that he was going to prepare a place for us. And he has sent angels, he has sent saints, he's appeared himself, our Blessed Mother has come all down through the ages to confirm for us, heaven is real. And knowing that truth, what do? Our Lord says today, provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven. My brothers and sisters, what can we do that does not wear out? Nothing. Of our own accord, nothing. But everything done in union with our Lord Jesus Christ endures forever. Every good deed done united to our Savior has an everlasting value and will glorify God for all eternity. My younger sister Katie, a number of years ago, she just graduated college and she wanted to spend a little time preparing for her vocation. She wasn't sure what that was at the time. And she went and spent a few weeks with the Missionaries of Charity in Armenia. And they had an orphanage, and four sisters, four nuns, were raising 30 children from the newborn until the age of 18 years old. And every single one of these children was handicapped. Almost every single one of them had been abandoned by their parents, either physically or mentally handicapped or both. And my sister got attached in a particular way to one little boy. He was 18 months old, and he was born with water on the brain. And so his parents knew that he would not last long, and they left him at the hospital. And these sisters took him in. Katie was there when he passed away. And the last 4 days of his life, he was up constantly, crying almost incessantly. And so the sisters would stay up with him around the clock, trying to comfort him and console him, holding him throughout the night. After a couple of days witnessing this, Katie says to one of the sisters, "Sister, I don't understand. This little boy has done nothing wrong. He is totally innocent. Why would God allow this to happen to him? And the sister said, Katie, some things we won't know until we get to heaven. But something that we do know is that this little boy is baptized. And so our Lord Jesus Christ lives in him. And so everything he is suffering will help in the redemption of all the world. His suffering is not in vain. This is one of the reasons in the church we baptize even infants, so that from the youngest age, all of their little acts, all their little prayers will redound to God's glory forever, because Jesus prays in them. The Holy Spirit acts through them. Going to the other end of life, one time I was asked to anoint a woman before she died. She had about 2 hours left to live. And I went to the home, and she had been bedbound for 10 years. And I thought, gosh, I wonder what sort of state of mind she'll be in. Will she be angry, resentful, frustrated with God? I went in there and she shared with me. She said, Father, a number of years ago, I made an offering of my life. I said, Lord, you can do with me whatever you desire. I want my entire life to be given for the salvation of souls. Father, he has sent this to me. And I know that he's been with me lying in this bed the last 10 years. And everything that I have endured will obtain great graces for souls. Let me give you one last example and a little light. One time, I was at a Benedictine monastery. And one of the brothers, one of the monks, asked me to play racquetball with him. And I didn't know Benedictine monks play racquetball. He was in his early 40s, and I was in my early 20s, and I was excited because I thought, okay, I got 20 years on him, I'm going to be quicker, I'm going to win easily. He smoked me. We get on the court, and I'm so excited to play. You know, here I am with this Benedictine monk, and so we get on the court, and I'm all riled up, and I'm waiting for him to serve, and he's kind of standing there, and he says, don't you think we should say a prayer before we start? And I thought, to play racquetball? Like, really? I said, oh, yeah, sure, brother, okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he says, Heavenly Father, may this time be given totally to you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, live in us as we pray, that every moment of time we spend, every ounce of energy we expend, will be for love of you. I go, wow. And I understood in that moment that we can offer everything in union with Christ. He lives in us. And so all of our actions can have everlasting value. My brothers and sisters, all of this is true, but that means the inverse is also true. Everything done apart from Christ has no everlasting value. It is only worthwhile in this world. It does not give God glory for all eternity, because only Jesus Christ can merit that which is eternal. St. John Vianney one time said, everything done apart from Christ is wasted. And so this is why Catholics, when we fall in a serious way, and it can be anything, you know, someone drinks too much, they miss Sunday Mass for no good reason, they're looking at something on the internet that they shouldn't, they gossip in a way that slanders someone and defames them. When those sins are not confessed, God's grace cannot remain in us, and none of our actions will merit eternity. None of them will glorify God forever. They remain here and now. And this is one of the most beautiful aspects about confession, because when we confess something, it is done and gone. When we stand before God one day, we will not have to be accountable for it, and we never have to confess it again. But what happens to all the good deeds that we've done in union with Christ when we fall? When we go to confession, they are all restored to us. They do not pass away. They cannot pass away. And sometimes people come to confession, they say, Father, you know, gosh, I'm going to have to begin anew. I'm going to have to start over. And I say, no, you don't. You will be restored to the degree of virtue that you had before you fell. And actually, because you are making your confession, you are receiving a higher degree of glory. So great is God's mercy. May we seek to remain always in a state of grace. And may we provide money bags for ourselves that do not wear out by doing everything in union with Christ.